So as I mentioned at the outset, we have today the image here, as Jesus says, a banquet, a wedding banquet. So this altar is an altar of sacrifice, yes, for the Eucharist, because we have the renewal of the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ on this altar, where Christ is once again sacrificed as he was on Calvary. Not in a bloody manner, certainly, but in mystery, as the Council of Trent puts it, in mystery, which means sacramentally. That sacrifice is renewed so that we are participating in that and ourselves becoming an offering pleasing to the Father with Christ. So that's an altar of sacrifice, but it's also a table of celebration. This is also the table of the Last Supper, but it's also a banquet table. And there's all kinds of banquets you can have. You can have banquets to celebrate people retiring. We can have banquets to celebrate being advanced in the job. Or we can have banquets to celebrate any number of things. The opening of a new office at the office space, whatever it might be. But this particular banquet is a wedding banquet, specified for us in the gospel. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who's giving a wedding feast. And that's what this is. We are going to a wedding feast. Now, traditionally, as it would work, in a marriage, a man and a woman come together at the altar from having lived at their separate locations. They come together, they profess and are wedded to each other, and then they go to move and live together in a new home. Well, in the kingdom, in the banquet, the wedding banquet of the kingdom, that's happening. We're coming to Mass, our Lord is coming from the heavens, we get married to each other, and we are promised that we'll be moving into the new common home, which is heaven. That's what's going on here. When we are wedded to the Lord, when we have been married to the Lord, we become his, and we move in with him, if you will. And that would be for each one of us. We move into the heavens. But as we also see in the gospel, many are invited and refuse to come. And that would be people that maybe absent themselves from Sunday Mass, or they want nothing to do with this particular setup, and they don't become wedded to the king, and therefore they won't move into the house of the king, which is the heavens. And as a result of that, they go elsewhere than the home of the king. But what happens after there's the refusal of so many? I mean, it says here that he sent out a second set, he sent out a first set, and so many were invited, and they said, you know, behold, my calves and my fatted calf are all killed. Come on to the banquet. And one says, I got to look after my dad. I got to look after this. I got to look after, and they don't come. So then the king says, well, all right, all the people I invited, they didn't come, but what I'd like you to do is now go out into the highways and byways and just start inviting anyone you come across. And that, of course, would be, in Jesus' time, tax collectors, prostitutes, unseemly people that maybe you wouldn't want to share a table with. Bring them in here. Get them in here. And yet we still meet that if you are a prostitute, you can't just come to the table without being properly dressed for the wedding. There's the need for repentance and conversion. That becomes the necessary thing. Because the king does come upon a person and says, how is it that you got in here without a wedding garment? See, there are still requirements. I mean, he's inviting all these people, and they're saying, yeah, sure, I'll come. And Jesus said it to the scribes and Pharisees. The prostitutes and the tax collectors are getting in ahead of you because they're hearing the good news, repenting, like Mary Magdalene, and they're coming to the table and they're being wedded to me. I mean, that's all I want, is I want to be wedded to you. I want to be married to you. I want to bring you into my home. And they're getting in ahead of the great religious leaders at Jesus' time. Now, I, as a priest, I take that to heart. You might think, oh, well, Father Dan, he's got a shoe in. He's a priest. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You know, my friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment? You're not properly dressed. I had a wedding yesterday, and usually when you have a wedding on Saturday, there's a rehearsal on Friday. And Friday, people come to the rehearsal, and they're in the day's attire of grub from work. You know, some of them have been work all day. They're it's not that they're like off the streets or anything, but they're grubby because they've been working all day, and that's what you expect. It's a rehearsal, and then they go out and they have some fun after that and celebrate, get ready for the wedding the next day. The wedding day, they come yesterday, tuxes, all decked out, showered, shaved, sharp as a tack. The ladies are all dressed in dresses, properly dressed for the wedding. That whole notion of dress is played out for us in the rite of baptism, when the new person who was baptized receives a baptismal garment. And that's what this is referring to. In order to get into the marriage banquet, we're actually even given the proper dress, which is baptism. We become a new creation. We don't enter as the tax collector we were. We come in as the new man, the new woman in Christ. And we have our white garment on that we received when we were baptized. I don't know if you've ever been to the rite of baptism, but that little white garment is put on the little baby, or the adult is put on over them. That's the garment we need to preserve unsoiled to enter the kingdom of God. We need to be properly dressed in order to stay in the banquet in the kingdom. And that garment has been given to us to care for, preserve, and keep cleaned and well cared for, we need to maintain it, or else we could lose it, and we certainly couldn't go in naked. That would not be so good. Some years ago, I remember back in 1977, that's when I came to seminary, 1977, and the first 2 years for me was like just total discernment, like, is this it, or is it not, is it not, and of course, in 79, I discerned the call to the TOR Franciscans. I joined up with them, and at the end, in 1980, I graduated from college. My mom and dad and my second oldest sister came out for it, and then we all proceeded to go to Washington, D.C., and walk our feet off in Washington, D.C. And I happen to have had a friend of mine from high school whose sister knew a rather important lawyer in Washington who was able to arrange for myself, my dad, my mom, and my sister a VIP tour of the White House. Now, a VIP tour is when you get a Secret Service agent who takes you into the White House and takes you upstairs and all around. And this would have been the last year of Jimmy Carter's presidency. And you show up at the side gate of the White House, and that's what we did. We went forward, and I went to the gate, and I said, I have a VIP tour. of the White House. He said, what's the name? I said, Dan Petit. He said, stand right here. So I stood there. My mom was there. My dad was there. My sister was there. And about maybe 5 minutes later, a married couple came with two little kids. She was decked out in a full gown. And he was decked out in a tuxedo. The two little kids looked like they were dressed for First Holy Communion. And they went up to that Secret Service man at the gate and they said, we have a VIP tour. And he said, name, and they gave it to him. He said, okay, you see that chair right over there, right up against the White House? Go and sit there and your Secret Service agent will meet you. So I'm standing there and I'm going, I didn't know what was going on. He says, we've been standing here for 10 minutes. So I went up to the gentleman and I said, sir, we had a VIP tour as well, and yet they went ahead of us. And he said, you see that line going around the block? You're first in line. That's your VIP tour. Because there was this long line to get the regular one, just that goes on the first floor. And I was dressed, at that time at least, I mean, I was maybe 20, I think, or 21. I was used to dressing in T-shirts and Levi's. I had a sport shirt on that had an Oxford collar, tucked in with a belt, nice shoes. It wasn't dressing VIP, though. My mother, I think she had a pantsuit. My sister had a skirt. My dad was wearing a sport shirt with Oxford collar as well. No tie. And we didn't get VIP, because we didn't dress VIP. Now, if there's a standard like that to get into the White House of the President of the United States, what would it be like to get into the house of the King of the Universe? Why would we not expect that there would be some standard of dress to get into the house of the King, not just of the United States, but of the whole universe? That somehow we can be just flimsy, or maybe we can just let ourselves go and just kind of look like we just come off the streets or from the gutter and come in just as you are and not worry about it. What's going on there? What's going on there? Well, what's going on is, I think we forget that if you live as though there is no God, how can you say that you're entering into being married to the living God? Let me just repeat that. If you live as though there is no God, how could you possibly say that you are participating in a wedding banquet that is wedding you and marrying you to God? That's what that garment symbolizes. We live our lives as Catholic men and women who are being wedded to the living God so that we can move in with Him. And He told us already, I got plenty of rooms. Come on in. I'll be happy to have you. But then He says this, right? My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment? Without a wedding garment, that means this person has not been bothering at all to be wedded to the living God. And that becomes our challenge as well. We need to recognize that as we go into our lives during the week, there is a God, and it just so happens He loves you. And like any good marriage, He'd like a little love in return. It's really a lot of common sense there. And that's what we're dealing with. That's what we're talking about when we talk about coming to this altar. The minister says, the body of Christ, and you say, amen, yes, I want to be married to the Lord. And I'm going to go out into this week and try to maintain it and bring my marriage vestment, garment, unsoiled to next week. And that's the invitation. So brothers and sisters, today we recognize our God loves us. He's coming. He's ready to marry us to himself and then move us into his home, into our new home together, which is the heavens. He wants that for us. He died for us to make that possible. He's the bridge upon which we are walking to enter into the new home. But he won't do it without us. And so I invite you today, step up, step up. We all need to. And that includes me. Just because I'm a priest doesn't mean I got an automatic ticket. I'm trying to get in too. And I join you and invite you to join me, that we can all get in together.